Amen. Cool. Hey, get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out and don't talk. Unless you are talking to the Lord. I don't know, that's cheesy. All right. Bibles out to Matthew. Jared, you getting your Bible out? Oh, you didn't bring it, did you?
Wow.
Yeah. Matthew chapter 5. Everybody there? Matthew's the first book of the New Testament.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts.
Romans.
First Corinthians.
Word. All right.
I learned that in Awana.
Good job.
You know what that is? No. Marty.
I love you, Marty. Hey, let's do this. Let's read this together. And I realize that you don't necessarily have to respect me, but you are going to respect God's word. And so when we read it, I'd appreciate it if you don't talk. Okay? So Matthew 5, 30 or 43. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Father, I just pray that you would just soften our hearts, and as we look at your word and this call to love our enemies, God, that you would teach us what that means. That we would have a soft heart and we would leave this place different because of your word. We pray that it would just be mighty in our lives right now and that our hearts would be soft and receive that seed. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's what we're talking about. We've been talking about where is the love for a while now. And we have we've defined love. We've talked about the way that if you're a Christian, you're supposed to love people. We've talked about how to do that. We talked about Scripture and that we are called as Christians to be different than the world and love people. Last week we talked about our purity. We've talked about dating in here. And all this is part of this idea of love. And so here's what we're going to do tonight. I think this is probably one of the hardest parts about love. And it's this. Loving your enemies. And that, I know off the top, is like, well, why in the world would I do that? Who in the world is going to love their enemies? Who in their right mind is going to love somebody? I mean, you know, you think about the word love. You know, you love your mom or your dad or your dog or baseball or your car or whatever. But you never think to say, I just love my enemies. I love people that are rude to me, that make fun of me, that talk about me. I mean, those are the people that I just really love. You are killing me. Put the peeps away.
What?
Alex, it's Alex's fault. Those are not the people that you think about loving. And what Jesus said is this. Those are exactly the people that if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, I'm calling you to love those kind of people. And I'm telling you that not just that you should or that it would be nice if you did, but that if you're going to be obedient as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you have to do that. And so he says, verse 43, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Let's stop right here because here's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, I know you people have heard from the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the scribes, that say, hey, you're supposed to love your neighbor. That's found in Leviticus. Jesus said that, 19:18. Jesus didn't say it in Leviticus. Scripture says in Leviticus 19:18, Moses would have written that you're supposed to love your neighbor. Hey, you're supposed to do that. And they got what their neighbor was and that kind of stuff. And so, well, actually, they misunderstood neighbor as well. But they just assumed, and they kind of added to this, the teachers of the law added this. Okay, y'all ready for this? That, okay, we get that you're supposed to love our neighbor. But they just assumed and read into that they're supposed to hate their enemy. If we're only called to love our neighbor, then we're just going to hate everybody else. And what Jesus is doing is helping them, and he's redefining this idea of love for them and how they're supposed to flesh that out in their daily life. That's what's going on in this passage. And so he says this, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. There's, if you've got a King James Version, it says this. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute you. And so he kind of lays out for us this idea of loving our enemies. Now, I want to read you a couple other verses, and you don't have to flip there. You can if you want, but the first one's in Romans 12. Romans 12, 17 says this. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. There you go. 1 Peter 3, 9 basically says the same thing, but I want you to see that this is written in other places in Scripture. 1 Peter 3, 9 says this, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. So here's this idea in Scripture of Jesus saying, love your enemies. And Romans and 1 Peter are telling us, don't repay evil for evil. They're saying, you've got to understand, it is not your place to take revenge. It's not your place to give evil for evil. It's not your place to get angry at people when they do you wrong. That is God's place. That's what he says in Romans. Leave room for God's wrath and God's revenge. Because he's the judge, and he is the one that will reap on them what they sowed. But here's the hard thing for us, is that we don't really get what loving your enemies means. You're like, love your enemies. So I'm just supposed to like it if you come up and kick me in the face. I'm just supposed to love you. I'm just supposed to like it if you just go out and key my car after the service because I made you mad. I'm just supposed to like it if you roll my house or if you, you know, when you punch my daughter in the face. I'm just supposed to like that. I'm supposed to like it. And those are kind of joking things, but I mean, you're supposed to like it if somebody talks about you. Everybody's been talked about. You're supposed to like it if people laugh at you. You're supposed to like it if you're criticized or made fun of. The answer to that, just so you know, is no. That's not what he's saying. You guys ever heard the idea, maybe your parents have said this and you didn't get it and you still don't, but hate the sin and love the sinner? How many of y'all heard that? Ever? Okay, some of y'all. That I remember hearing that growing up, that you're supposed to hate the sin and love the sinner, and I really didn't get that for a while. But here's the kind of love that's being talked about here. Here's the kind of love that Jesus is calling us to. And it's not, hey, you know, you're my enemy and I love you, so would you do something bad to me? Because I like it. It's not that. It's saying this, that, look, I understand that there are people in your life, and enemies is a strong word, but there are going to be people in your life that are going to be rude to you and unkind. People that you just don't like. People that you think very low of. There are going to be people in your life like that. And Jesus is not saying, like the things they do to you. But what he's telling you is that in spite of those things, in spite of the way anybody treats you, in spite of the way a so-called enemy would treat you, you're called to love them. Period. Now he goes on, and he doesn't if you've got the NIV, he doesn't say this, but in some later texts, and a better translation is this. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute you. So let's go through this real quick. Bless people. Bless those who curse you. Now here's what he's saying. People that speak negatively towards you, or of you, or about you, or they're harsh words, or they're unkind, or they gossip about you, whatever the case may be, we'll throw all that under the title of cursing. And Jesus is saying, bless those people. Here's what he's saying. Speak kindly to them. Regardless of what Marty may say to me, as if I'm going to be obedient to Christ, if I'm going to follow Christ, I cannot repay him in kind. If he calls me fat, I can't call him fat. I mean, especially not Marty. But I can't. If he says I'm dumb, you know, you don't say I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off to me and sticks to you, okay? You just don't.
You're awesome and they're bouncing off.
There you go. I know. So if I'm rubber, he says I'm awesome. Did y'all catch that? He's smart. You can't do that. You can't repay a curse with a curse. You are supposed to bless them. Now, I know y'all have heard this. If you haven't, if your mama hadn't said this to you, she should have. If you don't have anything nice to say,
don't say
anything at all. Now, here's the call to us. Don't talk to each other about your mama and what she says, okay? Look up here. This is what the call on our lives is. Regardless of what someone says to you, you speak well of them and you speak well to them. And if they don't have one good quality about them, I mean, they are just the vilest, most evil, negative, horrific, nasty person ever, then just don't talk to them and don't talk about them. Period. Jesus right here is, he's throwing out all excuses. There is no, eyes up here, there is no justification for you to speak ill of anyone, ever. Amen. That's what he's saying here. Dolores is a second grade teacher, right? Second grade? She hears people saying poopy head and whatever all the time. If you still use that word, think of another one. But you should never, ever, it is never justified. Are y'all with me? I want your eyes up here. It is never okay for you to speak ill of anyone. There is no justification. Regardless of what they do to you, regardless of what they say to you or about you, Jesus says here, you can look for the good in them and speak to that, or you say nothing. Now that's the bless. Okay, he goes on, he says this, do good. Okay, so it's not just about what you say, it's about what you do to them. 1 John 3:18, this is a great verse. If you want to flip over there, not John, but 1 John. It's towards the back, right before Revelation. 1 John 3:18 says this, dear children, talking to believers, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. It's one thing for somebody to say they love you, okay, and that feels good. But when somebody does something for you or to you that proves that they love you, and it's a lot different. So here's what he's saying here. We're still talking about enemies. Loving your enemies. Regardless of what you do to me, y'all with me? I'm supposed to love you in spite of yourself. I'm supposed to love you in spite of any nasty thing you do to me. It's part of forgiveness. But we use this word that Jesus is using here, love. And he's saying, I'm calling you, if you're going to follow me, to love people, to speak well of them and to be kind to them, to actually flesh out love to enemies. And right here, I just want to use a really broad term of enemies. Okay? And we're going to use the word anybody that you wouldn't consider a good friend. Anybody that you would talk about, which some of y'all talk about your good friends, which is a totally other issue. But anybody that you would say would be in not part of your group, or that maybe you would even consider an enemy. Jesus is saying not just speak well of them, but he's saying be kind to them. Serve them. Flesh out your love towards them in being nice. You know, you open the door for 20 people and here this person comes and you just accidentally slam it in their face. That would be the opposite of what Jesus is calling us to do here. Because there is nothing you can do to me that justifies me returning that evil to you. You with me? Stupid petty fights, that happens because we don't get this. Because my pride says if you're going to do something mean to me, then I've got to repay you with that. We just read in Romans Paul said that's not our job. It's not your job to repay evil for evil, it's God's. It's not your job. So if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you've got to speak kindly to people and you've got to act kind to people. And then he says this, pray. Hey, you struggle with gossip? If I talk about Jared all the time, I'm going to tell you a surefire way to quit doing it. Start praying for him. If I get on my face before God and I lift Jared up, even if I hate him and I don't know what's going on in his life, it's going to change the way I treat him. Ladies, y'all settle down. It's going to change the way that I treat him. It's going to be different. If I get, okay, God, this isn't about me, this is about you, and this is about the life you've called me to. Hey, it's going to be different in the way that I treat you if I'm praying for you. It's going to be hard for me to, the first thing I do at school, to talk about what you did this weekend if I've been praying for you all morning. It's going to be hard for me to be a jerk to you if I go before God and I pray. And here's the catch with praying. You can't change anybody's heart. You can't make somebody be nice. You can't make them say nice things. You can't make them do nice things. You can't change who they are, but I'll tell you who can. God. And we go before God, we ask Him not just to change them, what they do, but who they are. And part of this reason that Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you, who are mean to you, who are constantly picking on you or speaking ill of you, is because they don't just need to change their actions, they need to change their heart. And if you've got an enemy, you need to be praying for them and praying that God would change their heart. Ultimately, they need to get saved. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will live in them, and then they begin to act like this. So, He says, bless them, do good to them, pray for them. And then He goes on to say this, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That you may be sons, that's plural, so it's saying that you may be a follower of Christ in heaven. Your Father in heaven. Well, we'll just stop right there. And here's what that means. Okay? When you do this, when you live this way, you prove / you show that you are a follower of Christ. Okay, the opposite is true as well. So let's get this. When you live like a life contrary to this, you prove one of two things. Either one, that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't care what you've prayed. I don't care how long you've been in church. If your life is not characterized by this kind of love, either you don't know Jesus or you are in a sin issue. And your heart is hard towards this and you are not walking with God. Period. He says, if you do this and you love people this way, it proves that you are a follower of Christ. That you are sons of your Father in heaven. And he goes on to say this. Okay, he breaks it down for us like this. This God that you're proving that you follow, He causes His Son, to, not person's Son, the actual red, orange thing in the sky Son, to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, what the heck does that mean? Who cares about the sun and the rain? Here's what he's saying. Everything you have is a blessing from God. Everything. The sun coming up that makes this whole thing work that we know as earth and our solar system and all that stuff is a blessing from God. The rain that God sends is a blessing. And here's what he's saying. He doesn't just rain on Christians' crops. The sun doesn't just shine for Christians so that we can get a tan and things will grow and give us oxygen. God blesses people despite sometimes where they are, whether they're a Christian or not, whether they're evil or not. God's blessing happens. There are plenty of lost people that are wicked and vile and could care less and actually speak out against Christ. Maybe that's some of you in this room that God blesses. You got stuff. You got money. You got plenty of success or fame. Maybe not in this room. But look at all the people we watch on TV. Most of them could care less about God. And yet God lets them have stuff. He hasn't killed them. Most of them probably have families, or they have had many families. They have blessing, and what we would call blessing. And he says this, it's not about what you do. God is saying, hey, this blessing that I give people, I don't look at whether they're evil or they're righteous. I just bless them because I love people. You should be good to people the same way. You should do good to your enemies the same way. Period. Now he says this, if you just love those people that love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Here's the idea. If you just love people that love you, you're just selfish. If you just love the people that are nice and easy to love, that's not love. That's really just selfishness. You see, if Jared every week comes in here and brings me a big old fat sweet tea from Chick-fil-A and a chicken sandwich, you know, I'm going to like him a lot more. Okay? I mean, it's going to be easier for me to be nice to him. There may be a time that I even bring him a sandwich. If you come in every week and you bring me $20, I mean, we're going to be boys. I mean, I'm going to enjoy hanging out with you, at least for that moment when you give me that money. Okay? He's saying anybody can do that. The tax collectors, these people that would do the vilest of things, these were not well-liked people back in the day. Here's what happened. Israel was a Roman province, okay? Rome owned it, and so Rome got to collect taxes on it. And these people that would work, they would be wicked. They would steal people's money. They would take part for themselves. They would do anything it took to get money. And he's saying even the tax collectors will be nice to you if you're nice to them. Hey, you give them the money, you sneak them a little extra under the table, maybe they let you miss a collection or two. It's not because they love you, it's because they're selfish. And I want to hang out with people that are nice to me, but it's not because I want to be nice to you, it's just because I like the feeling when you're nice to me. And so he's saying, hey, listen, it doesn't take a Christian to do that. It just takes anybody with two brain cells to get that you should be nice to people that are nice to you. He goes on to say this, and if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? He's a poet. All right. If you greet only your brothers, and your version may say salute, and here's the idea. If you're just civil, I mean, if you're civil, that's the idea. If you're just nice, you're kind, you know, you say hey, you give them high fives or chest bumps or whatever, you're just civil with people. If you just do that to your friends, what are you doing more than others? And listen right here. This is the key to this whole passage. This is the key to everything I think in this passage Jesus is saying. What are you doing more than others? And this is what that means to you and me. As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, one who says, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, I am called to stand out and to do more than others. The way I love you should look very different from the way your average friend, especially if they're lost, loves you. As a Christian, the way you love people in your school should be very different than the way that they probably understand love. As a Christian, I'm not just supposed to love you if you love me. I'm not just supposed to be kind to you and be civil to you. I'm supposed to go out of my way and serve you and humble myself and put your needs before my own and be kind to you and not gossip about you and speak well of you. I'm supposed to do all of those things even if you're my enemy. Let me ask you this question. What makes you stand out? Don't answer me. But if the only things you can think of is your hairdo or the clothes you wear or that you're funny, you're missing what Jesus has called us to. There should be something about godliness that makes you stand out like a sore thumb. And I'm not talking about a negative way. Everybody in your school, if you're a Christian, should want to be your friend. Everybody. Now, they may think you're a freak because you talk about God all the time, but you should be the nicest. You should speak the kindest, whatever words, of anybody in your school. You should be the person that loves everybody, that is nice to everybody. Everybody should know that you are different if you follow Christ. And here's what you don't get, and that I don't get a lot of times, is that when I don't love people this way, it distorts who Jesus is. That's a big word that means it gives them a bad picture of who Jesus is. If I say, I'm a Christian, Everybody thinks the way I act is the way Jesus acts. You wonder why people call Christians hypocrites? It's not because of Jesus. It's because of you and me. It's because you claim to know Christ on Wednesdays and Sundays and at FCA, and then you go out and you live just like the world. And maybe you don't drink and cuss as much as everybody and you're not having sex, but you're no different. And I'm no different. And so the world says, why would I want to do that? They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Deep down, they want this Jesus guy. They want to know unconditional love. They would love to know joy and peace and all these church words we use. But guys, listen, right here, they don't see it in your life. And so they don't want anything to do with what we're offering them. Maybe you're in this room and you're not a Christian. Maybe you feel that way or you felt that way at one point. Can I just tell you this? Every one of us in this room, we're just where you were before we came to know Christ. We just needed Jesus, and we're just as messed up as anybody else. And we often give people a distorted picture of who Jesus is. But the fact is Jesus is true and real. And all the things that we talk about on Wednesday night and that maybe that you think are true or untrue about, man, Jesus is real and He does love you unconditionally and He wants to change your life and He does offer you something better. Here's what's cool, guys, you and I. We get to show the world that by the way we love them and not just the people that love us or that are easy to love. The way we love our enemies. You guys loving each other in this room is good. It's a good start. Jesus said the world will know that we are His followers by the way we love each other. But it's not enough. Because Jesus is saying anybody will do that. Anybody will love the people that are lovable. But a Christian's got to stand out because we love the unlovable. We love the people that we don't want to love. The people that aren't as cool. The people that are jerks. The people that are outcasts. That's what the world needs to see in us. And he ends with this. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, let me tell you what that means, because it's in Scripture a lot. You're not perfect. Okay? Praise the Lord for that. I'm not perfect. And we're not going to be. Until Christ comes back and redeems us. But here's what he's saying to you and to me. If you want to be godly, okay, look at me right here. If you want to be godly, you can read Scripture all you want. That's a good thing. It's going to help you be godly. You can share your faith all you want. That's a good thing. It's going to help you. It's going to help you be godly. You can pray a lot. That's a good thing. It's going to help you be godly. But if you want to be perfect, if you want to pursue God and be godly, you cannot leave this element out. He's saying specifically in this area to be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect. And this is what he means. That as a Christian, you have to get this. You have to get this concept that you have got to show love to this entire world. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And it's this idea of wholeness and completeness. And see, we're really good at separating our lives and saying, yeah, but look how good I love these people. And Jesus is pretty smart. And that's why he's saying this at the end, because he's saying it's not enough. It's not enough to be at church. It's not enough just to serve some people. It's not enough to share your faith. It's not enough to read the Bible. It's not enough to be nice or kind or help old ladies across the street. There's part of this that you have to love your enemies. And if you don't, you are missing an element of godliness in your life. Period. And so the challenge for you and me, and this is a hard challenge, is to love the unlovable. There are people in this room that you would throw under that unlovable enemy category. They may not even know it. And Jesus said there's no exception. There's no justification for you to treat. I don't care what they said about you or your mama or anybody else. I don't care what they did to you. Doesn't matter how many times you have written on Jay's car. Doesn't matter. He has to love you. Period. And his mom does too. They have to. Because it's not about what you do to me. It's about what God has called you and me to do. Okay? And I'm going to end with this. This is how you're going to get this. You ready? It's not about the person. You've got to be able to move on past that person. It's about simply this. What has God called me to? How do I, as one who says I'm a follower of Christ, be obedient to Christ? And it's this. I love my enemies. Period. That's hard. No doubt about it. It's hard. Hey, but I just tell you, if you can get that in your life, if you can start fleshing that out, it would change. It definitely would change your circle of influence. Probably change your school. Can I tell you that people, they react weird to love. I've made Josh my official greeter out here. If you didn't know, he's the weird guy yelling at you, screaming and stuff. He said this. Most of y'all looked at him like he was a freak with four eyes when you walk in and he's like, "Hey, what's up? Welcome to Manly." Here's why. Here's why in general people we react weird to that. It's because we don't get loved. We don't get loved. But you know what? Everybody likes it when they get loved. Everybody really wants to be loved. You know, whether you think you're too tough or cool or whatever for love, you like it when people genuinely speak a kind word to you or they act out some way that they love you. We all like that. You can lie to yourself and you can be too tough or that I don't need nobody's love. That's crap, and you know it deep down. We all like love. We want to be loved. And I'm just telling you, if you get that and you start doing that in your schools, in your homes, on your teams, in your clubs, guys, it will change Morristown. I guarantee you. Because when I love Ben, you know what it does? I mean, Ben's lost. He doesn't know Jesus. He don't care about Jesus. But I love him anyways. And sometimes maybe we even hang out. You know what it does? I earn the right in his life to share with him this awesome story of a guy named Jesus Christ who came to earth and died on a cross for his sin and mine. And now because of that, he offers us this really cool new life and forgiveness of sins. And whereas when I was a jerk to him before because he was a jerk to me, he would have never listened to that. Now I have the opportunity because Ben knows that I love him. He's still a jerk to me sometimes. But he knows I pray for him because I tell him, "Hey Ben, I just wanted you to know I've been praying for you this week." I'm kind to him. I'm not talking about being mushy and following him around and picking up his trash. I'm just talking about just being cool and in life with people. And now Ben says, "Man, Brian, my parents got in a fight last night and I don't know what to do." And now I've earned the right to be in his life and to be this friend that loved him genuinely. And now I get to share with him this ultimate expression of love that happened in Christ. That's cool. Now, Jesus is not calling us to love with an ulterior motive. He's just calling us to love. But what we get out of that, one of the benefits of loving people, is that we earn the right to be in their life and to speak truth in their life because they know that we love them. Maybe tonight, you don't know love at all. Maybe you think you do. Maybe you get at home. But this love with Jesus, it's just different. And you've never known it. Man, you'd like to. And this idea of love and unconditional love and somebody dying on a cross for your sins, hey, that sounds good to you. But here's what you need to know, and we all need to know, is that this. There will be a day when you stand before God and He says, what did you do with my son? And here's what's going to happen. You will have either bowed your knee on this earth and submitted your life to Christ as your personal Lord and Savior now, and you will serve Him as Lord now on this earth and spend eternity with Him in heaven, or you will stand before Him one day and bow your knee before Him and confess Him as judge, and He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. We all deserve that second part. But God, in His undefinable, unconditional, great love for you and I, allows us the opportunity to know Him personally through Christ and what Christ did on the cross for you and I. And if you don't know that, if you don't know Jesus that way, and you say, I'd like to, I just want you to just raise your hand. I'd like to talk to you later. Or maybe one of our adults, but you say, man, I've never given my life to Christ, but I want to follow Him. I'd like to give my life to Him, or I'd at least like to know more about it. Just raise your hand. Say, that's me. I'd like to do it. Anybody? Cool. Hey, and if you're not a Christian, I'm glad you're here. I pray that God would soften your heart and you would come to desire Him as Lord and Savior. Let me say this, though. That means all of you in here are either Christians or you're not. Whatever. That was the case before I asked that question. But let me say this. If you and I are Christians, we have got to be about sharing the gospel with our friends. We have got to be about bringing our friends to church, preferably after you share the gospel with them and tell them about Christ. But we have got to be about getting them around God and letting them hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Guys, there's no reason for us not to. Hey, you know what fits into this? Those people that you say, man, they never come to church. Or you look at them and you say, what are they doing here? They're freaks. They're devil worshipers or whatever you call them. Those are the exact people that Jesus is talking about here. He says they need Jesus too. And Jesus died on a cross for them, the same that He did for you. Man, would God give us boldness and the ability to love people like this? Let's pray. Father, I just pray, God, that You would give us courage to love people like this. I pray that You would show us in our life areas that we are very cruel to people, that we don't speak kind words to them, whether it's because we're scared or we've got too much pride or we're worried about what other people will think. God, help us to love the unlovable the way that Jesus called us to, that we would speak kindly to them, that we would do good to them, that we would pray before them, that we would bring them before You and ask You to change their heart. God, help us to stick out and be different than the world. Help us to love better than the world loves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.